Merry Christmas. Thank you all for coming here to celebrate Jesus' birth with us in this place. For those of you who have been with us in worship during the fall, this is a long-awaited moment. We shifted to a new schedule of readings, the narrative lectionary, and that meant that week after week, we were confronted with unfamiliar and unpronounceable Old Testament names. And just when we thought we'd grasped what was happening, we jump forward by a century and discover that these new names and places had changed or meant something different than they had only a week before. My particular favorite was moving from Israel the person to Israel the promised land to Israel the breakaway kingdom in the north, which was part of the promised land but not all of it. And by the end, even I was a little unsure of what our writers were talking about. But now, that's all changed. We're back at a story that we know intimately, a story we could probably tell without these words on the screen or the papers in front of us. And indeed, that just gave me an idea for next year. But our time in the Old Testament added new depth to our understanding of Christmas. We saw this fall how Jacob's children fled into Egypt and were brought out again from the midst of their despair by God. We traveled with them to the heights of David's reign as king of Israel. We mourned with the people as that kingdom was divided into north and south. So we got a sense of what was lost when the kingdom was destroyed and the leaders of it were sent into exile. We learned that destruction came first and most wholly to the northern part of Israel, including a little-known region called Galilee. Tonight, we heard Isaiah's prophecy as part of our story of Jesus' birth. But 3 weeks ago, we heard it succoring Jews in the Babylonian exile, waiting, waiting, waiting for a chance to return home. For this is the world that Jesus was born into, a world that remembered great heights and also great sorrows. The sorrow of the exile, the sorrow of the destruction of the temple, the sorrow of potential lost. When Jesus was born, Israel was under occupation by the Roman Empire at the height of its glory, if not its power. Famously, Roman cities did not have walls, for if any other city dared to attack one of them, the Roman legions would raze it to the ground. The Roman government allowed no dissent from its conquered peoples, crucifying them without mercy for any hint of rebellion, which is the story that you hear at Easter time. In Jerusalem, a puppet sat on the throne, and as we learn from the New Testament, the governance of the temple in Jerusalem was corrupt, exploiting the spiritual and religious needs of the poor to enrich a ruling class that could extract monopoly rents. Unbeknownst to the inhabitants, we were nearing the end of anything that could be called a Jewish nation. After hundreds of years and half a millennium after the exile, the rebellion that finally provoked Rome into destroying the temple and scattering the people was only 70 years away, and in the lifetime of some of those who knew Jesus in his ministry. And so when we have a year like we have had in 2015, that in this church has been filled with deaths and sorrows in our families, and in our world has been filled with violence and prolonged war in the Middle East, with mass shootings in America, and with fear all around us, it is important to know that Christmas came in such a time as this. It came not in a palace of the big city, but a sleepy little suburb. It came not in a way covered by the criers, but by word of mouth among the humble shepherds. It came to people living in occupation, people struggling to feed their family and to find a place to live. God knew that the people who needed the message this time were not the kings and priests, but the people who were just scraping by. The people the Babylonians didn't even bother to exile those centuries before because they were no threat, unlike the royal family. The people who so often felt they could only sit by and watch as the world unfolded before them. Which means the story of Christmas is for all of us who have felt powerless, all of us who have felt weak, all of us who have been at our wits' end trying to understand the world. And we tell it in this way, with carols and with children and pageants, because 2,000 years ago, everyone knew that the new king wouldn't come from a manger. Everyone knew that the person to restore David's kingdom would come at the head of an army. And now everyone knows we can't do anything to stop violence in the world. Everyone knows that war is inevitable, except when we sing, except when we listen to the voice of a child who still believes, except when we hear with those ears of ours that first heard this glorious story and thought, for a small moment, that things could be different. That if God would be lowered into this humble station, born in a stinking manger, to be with the people who had been without hope, then maybe, all the things that everyone knows are wrong after all. Maybe, just maybe, peace on earth and goodwill to all people are in our sight.